Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast. Myself and my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, live here on Spotify Live. Jeremy, what's going down, brother?
Hey, Mike, what's happening? What's happening?
That was a tough loss, man. After a 20-point lead in the first half, they lose that game by 8 points.
Yeah, you got to play four good quarters, and tonight the Rockets only played one. So hard to win games when you only play one and a half good quarters.
I mean, that's fair, brother. We have a lot to break down tonight. I don't know really where I want to start with this game, Jeremy. I mean, I picked up this game late second quarter. You know, the Rockets outscored the Pacers 25-10 in the first quarter. They get outscored 35-25 in the second quarter. They were only up by five going into half. Indiana improves to 8-6 on the season. Indiana's outperforming expectations for this year. Would you agree with that or no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this, like, Indiana, if you look at that roster, it's just not, there's not a lot of like star quality on that roster. I mean, it's probably better than the Rockets, but I mean, not by a whole lot. And I mean, you look at that, how the game started tonight. That's the Indiana, I think, that most people were expecting to see this season. And right. I mean, you know, they're well coached, which is kind of ironic because Rick Carlisle getting ejected in the middle of the game is kind of maybe what sparked this comeback that the Pacers had tonight. But you know, I think that did, you know, Ryan Holland said it on the broadcast, you know, Rick Carlisle's not stupid. Like he, you know, he does things deliberately. He doesn't do things on accident. And clearly it paid off for the Indiana.
Yeah, you brought up the Carlisle situation before I could. I got to be honest with you, Jeremy. Tonight, you look at the starting five of the Rockets. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the only game of the season, 16 games into the season, every single Rockets starter was in double figures scoring-wise?
I don't have everything off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I just, like, looking at every box score from this year, I think this is, man.
It's, look, anyone that wasn't named Eric Gordon tonight struggled offensively. And if you just, it was just like, contagious, you know, and some nights that happens. And I guess maybe that defensive, like that defensive run that they had in that first quarter made this game probably a lot closer than it should have been. Because the Rockets just simply didn't have it tonight. And that raises questions as to, you know, how important is Kevin Porter Jr. to the whole operation that the Rockets have? And, you know, how, where does that put, like, why was Jalen struggling tonight as much as he was? Was it because he wasn't getting the ball as much? Was it because he didn't have someone that could kind of set him up? And I think that we're obviously probably going to talk about that later on in the show, but I think tonight you just saw a team that just really doesn't have much offensive like identity at all.
Well, I'm glad you brought that game tonight, KJ. Or sorry, Kevin Porter Jr. misses the game tonight. KJ Martin starts in replacement of KPJ. The starters were fine tonight, man. I mean, you look at the plus minuses tonight. Jabari was a minus two. KJ was a plus six. Alperen Şengün was a plus four. Eric Gordon was a plus eight. And Jalen Green was, you know, even. The bench was terrible tonight for the Rockets.
Well, that's because
yeah, go ahead.
The Rockets had all that whole first quarter where that starting unit jumped out to a huge lead. So that's why and in the night like tonight, I know we like using that stat, but on a night like tonight, that number is incredibly flawed because of the huge run that the Rockets got out to. Look, what was the final score?
They lost 99-91 tonight.
99-91. So if you take away that 25-10 at the beginning of the game, it was what? That's
24 point swing.
24 points. Exactly. So yeah. It's like you really can't excuse that. Like this loss is on every single person wearing Rockets across their chest tonight. Great uniforms, by the way. Great Elvin Hayes tribute. I was a big fan of it. I know we were big fans of it when they came out. I thought they looked a lot smoother tonight. Phenomenal. Unfortunately, the Rockets didn't play as well as the uniforms looked. But ultimately, look, I mean, this team is struggling to find any kind of identity on offense. It's good that they're getting the defensive part sorted out, because I think that's maybe, in my opinion, that's a little bit more important. But again, the team that scores the most points at the end of the game wins, so you need to score more points. And I think, look, Kevin Porter not playing tonight, I think, had a big part in that. But also, if you keep in mind, like, is Kevin Porter, the fact that he's not there, our offense is that far set back? I really think, Mike, I was talking about it with my dad, and I think this, like, I want to hear your take on this.
For sure.
Put Chris Paul on this roster. How many games do you want in? Well, I'm serious. Like,
it's a lot more than three. It's a lot more than three.
Yeah. Because Chris Paul's the kind of guy that sets up other players. I feel like, in a way, like Jalen Green, up until this point in his career, just passed, I think, the 82-game mark for his career, the trajectory I'm seeing for him that I hope he arrives at is Devin Booker. I love the way that Devin Booker has kind of built his career, and I think that there are a lot of similarities in his game and in Jalen's. Look, but I mean, Jalen couldn't hit anything tonight, man. Like, it was just, it's unfortunate because we've seen Jalen like that before, but I mean, he'll figure it out. Like, if Jalen was on tonight, I think this game is a totally different game. Look, and I mean, if you look back at it, only a 3-possession loss. I mean, that's three shots you got to hit in order. That's three threes, and they were hit. They missed, like, you know, 20 something threes. Three of those are made. We're talking a very different Rockets game tonight. So I don't want to say it's a horrible, terrible, you know, like, stop the presses, everything loss. Because I think we had that on, what was it, Monday?
Well, those don't exist, man. I mean, when your team is 3-12 coming into a game, the stop the presses losses don't exist. And the thing that I have a problem with, Jeremy, tonight, it's not individual performances. They shot 6 of 28 from three. The Rockets did tonight. My problem is mostly with Indiana is doing what I believe the Rockets should do, which is continuing to keep hold of a guy like Miles Turner. And yeah, but playing a guy like Jalen Smith, who went for 10 and 18 tonight. You and I talked about Jalen Smith, man, in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have loved a guy like him.
Jalen Smith's a good building block for them. But the thing is, Mike, is long-term, if you're looking at it, look, short-term, Indiana winning tonight is cool and all, but they are the San Antonio Spurs of the Eastern Conference right now, where San Antonio, they started out, what, 5-2? And now they're starting to get back to where they're supposed to be. But look, Indiana – all they're doing is just putting enough space between them and the true bottoms of the NBA. And that's going to lose them on the Wembanyama sweepstakes. And it's just going to set them in this, like, purgatory for a long time. And look, Indiana has not had a star since Reggie Miller, like, since Paul George. But again, like, Paul George, it wasn't going to ever stay there. So that's the problem with a team like Indiana, is you got to go through the draft, because you're not going to get free agency. You know, you're not going to get the big free agents that other cities might get, because it's a more desirable market. But Indiana is struggling with the fact that they have players like Miles Turner that raise their ceiling or raise their floor, I should say, and limits their ceiling because they're not getting because it prevents them from getting the real top talent in the draft. I do like Benedict Mathurin, though. I thought he played really well tonight. He looks like a guy that could be first-team All-NBA rookie this year. But Benedict Mathurin, like, that, if that's the ceiling of who you're going to get in the draft, then I don't necessarily think that's a perfect formula for winning basketball right now.
But I guess my question to you, Jeremy, is what's your point?
Like, I mean, my point is, if you're trying to win a championship, you have to, if you're Indiana – and you're trying to win a championship, the only way you do that is through the draft. And if
I don't agree with that, man.
What do you mean?
I don't agree with the fact, like, If you're going to ask me, would I rather buy into the Pacers plan or the Rockets plan at this point? I'm buying into the Pacers plan over the Rockets plan.
But
because the Rockets have no plan. Because you look at, again, tonight, like, I think the last time you and I did a show.
Because the Pacers haven't fully bottomed out yet, Mike.
But that's it.
The Pacers are literally the definition of John Wall, Victor Oladipo, who came from the Pacers, and Christian Wood. That is a, oh, yeah, that's cool. Maybe we can do something this year, but it's not going to win you a championship. So at the end
neither
of the day,
what the Rockets are doing, man.
Okay, but at least the Rockets are going to get in a position to where they're going to draft higher quality talent. And especially in a draft like this, where it is incredibly top heavy, you know, I'll say this, like, obviously, like, Victor Wembanyama would be like a gift from the basketball gods, but
still doesn't solve the Rockets' problem.
But Scoot Henderson might too.
No, he doesn't. Like, he doesn't solve the Rockets' problem either.
What's the Rockets' problem then?
They can't defend the rim.
Mike.
Like, that's what nobody wants to talk about.
Mike.
They can't defend the rim.
Look, we can talk about the defense and how poor it's been.
It's been
all
awful.
season long. But the last two nights, they've held two teams under 100 points. And that is something that's very hard to do in the NBA nowadays. And I don't think this loss is on the defense. The defense was, in my opinion, pretty good tonight. So, look, you lost this game because you only scored 91 points. It's really hard to score 91 points and win a basketball game in the NBA in 2022. But the fact that the Rockets were able to hold the Pacers under 100, like, the first quarter was some of the best defense that I've ever seen from the Rockets. I mean, look, the Pacers really struggled to hit some shots in the beginning, but the Rockets should be given some credit for being able to get those guys, you know, get that lead and hold the Pacers to just 10 points in that first quarter.
They did a phenomenal job, and I'm looking at highlights in the first quarter now because I didn't watch it live, I'll be honest with everybody. But what I will say to you, no matter what happens in the draft this year, whether they draft Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson, does not solve their problem.
No, I think they do not have
a big man in the middle.
I'll be honest with you, though.
Yes?
The problem for me, there's not one problem for the Rockets, so that's not the question that's being asked. The question that's being asked is, look, I'll just come out and say it. Like,
say it.
Get Steven Silas away from the Rockets.
Like, bye bye.
I'm kind of at this point where, you know, for those of you that have listened to our podcast for 350 plus episodes, thank you very much.
That's what
I'm talking about. But you guys know how much of a Steven Silas supporter that I am. And I think maybe to a fault, I've been a bit on his side, maybe a little bit too much. But I think at this point, look, if something's wrong, figure out a way to fix it. And in the NBA, you've got two things that you've got to fix. If it's either the players or the coaches. And at this point, the players have shown me more promise than the coach. And, I mean, look, any Rockets fan, I think, would say, would you keep Silas or would you keep the current core you've got? And I think the current core at least has shown some flashes of potential. I would like to see what this core group would do with a different coach and see maybe an offense is a little bit more structured that has a little bit more of an agenda. But also at the same time, Mike, like I mentioned, you get a point guard that also knows what he's doing. Like Chris Paul. Look, I think if Chris Paul was on this Rockets team, he'd act like a coach, first of all. But secondly, I don't see why the Rockets wouldn't make the play-in if Chris Paul was on this team. And I'm not swapping Chris Paul out for anyone. I'm just saying, let's take Chris Paul, put him on the Rockets away from the Suns, see what he does. I really do think the Rockets are a play-in team with Chris Paul at worst.
Well, okay, so
because Chris Paul makes the players better around him. He doesn't make mistakes very often, and he's able to set his guys up. He knows basketball probably better than any other person in the NBA. I think he's the best basketball IQ in the NBA. And if Chris Paul was able to take the Rockets from where they were the year before he got there to a team that nearly beat those Durant Warriors, I mean, that to me is evidence enough that Chris Paul is the kind, and look at what he's done with the Thunder, with the Suns. You know, he has a proven, you know, he's been able to take trash teams into treasure. And I'm not, look, obviously Chris Paul's not coming to Houston anytime soon. He's not walking in that door. But I think if you were to get a guy that just doesn't make a ton of mistakes and can figure out how to best get, you know, other players involved, and if they could get him for Eric Gordon, I'm cool with that.
Well, let's, I mean,
but I, okay, it's so going to be more likely that you're going to get it either, whether it be from Kevin Porter. I don't know if Kevin Porter is that answer. In fact, I'm probably leaning more towards they need a different guard that isn't Kevin Porter to complement Kevin Porter. Like a Tyus Jones, Adam says, I think that Tyus Jones, I wouldn't say he's better than Kevin Porter Jr., but if you put him next to him, there's a chance that there's a better team there. I think they just need a point guard that is just can calm down the offense. It, like, look, that's what happened tonight. The offense was kind of just lost throughout the game, and they didn't know really how to, like, change directions or fix it or anything like that. And number one, that should be on Silas because, you know, he's not able to, you know, make an in-game adjustment when he needs to. I mean, look, the Rockets had that 20-point lead, and it almost went bye-bye in a quarter. They lost that. They almost lost the lead in the first half. They were only up 4 points at the end of the first half. They were up 20 in that same quarter. So the second quarter is where the game was lost. And in my opinion, like, you can have – look, it's a bunch of young players, so they're not going to know any better on how to totally just switch gears and flip the script and totally just change things. They're not like, there's so much going on in their minds on how to coexist in the basketball game that they're not thinking about, oh, like, we have to change our whole strategy. That's not something that young players are capable enough to figure out on their own. They need a veteran that is with the ball in their hands, that is able to make the players around him better. I think Eric Gordon does that to a small extent, but he doesn't do that enough to change the needle or to move the needle for me.
They should fire Steven Silas for him playing Eric Gordon 36 minutes.
No, Mike, tonight. That's not – no, because fired. Eric Gordon was the only player that – no, no, that's fired. Ridiculous. That's absolutely
it's
ridiculous,
not,
Mike.
No, it's
Eric
not.
Eric Gordon was the only
no, it's not.
That was – Eric Gordon was the only person that was competent enough on offense to do anything.
It has nothing to do with that, dude. It has nothing to do with that. I don't care if he's competent or not. The fact
so remains, should he have just sat Eric Gordon? We lose by 30 instead.
Would yes,
have been any better?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
Thank God, you finally said because they're losing games anyway. Because they're losing. Okay,
no, but you had
so
a
you played
to win tonight. You
no,
had a
you
chance
did.
To win tonight.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
no,
you did, Mike.
If you watch
points,
if
Mike,
you watch that second half,
dude,
if you
ridiculous.
Watch, no, it's not. If you watch that second half, they were getting beat time in and time out. Every
and you
single
didn't
possession
watch the
in
first
that second
half, and you admitted that you didn't watch the first half.
No.
Highlights. So what I'm trying to tell you is this game.
I'm talking about the second half. Talking about the second half.
Okay,
fam.
But yes, but that wasn't the full game, right?
That's the second. Okay, but that's winning time. I don't care about the first half.
Well, the
it
first
really
half,
doesn't matter in the first half.
No,
you're, are you going to tell me? Are you honestly going to tell me playing Eric Gordon is the best thing for the Rockets right now? Straight up, I'm not talking about first half, second half.
On
is
a
playing
night,
Eric
on
Gordon.
A night,
nope, that's
night,
not my question.
On a night like tonight.
Not my question.
Where he was the only player who was good on offense. Yes, you need to play Eric Gordon because he's good. He's one of your best players right now. He's the only player that could shoot tonight, Mike. If you don't have him, the Rockets shoot, like, the Rockets have like 50 points.
You don't know that. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you know what Josh Christopher can do with this team? Do you know?
Josh
versus
horrible too.
Because he plays 5 minutes a night. That's my problem, is that you said it yourself. Silas needs to go because he continues to play fat Eric Gordon night in and night out, 30-plus minutes a game, and he's ruining
no,
this roster's
that's
ceiling.
Not what it is.
That's exactly
not
what it is. It's exactly
not,
what it is. It's
look,
exactly
it's,
what it is.
It's not the fact. Look, Eric Gordon is not the reason why this team is bad.
Playing him 30 minutes a night is a real big factor why this team is not good.
No, sure. Mike, because then
it is.
No, Mike, because then you're
so
gonna play.
So dispel it. Why? Give me a legitimate reason why you should play Eric Gordon 30-plus minutes tonight.
Because he scored you 24 points tonight, Mike.
It doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing that people don't get. Not you. fans don't get. Playing Aaron Gordon on this team, he's a waste of time on this team.
I'm not necessarily – look.
He's such a waste, man.
But he's going to get them to – like, if you have five rookies out there or five young players out there
– they're losing anyway. That's my point. They're going to lose with or without Aaron Gordon. Why not give the time to younger guys to develop with this roster? That's my question.
Because, Mike, if you're going to develop 10 guys without anyone that, like, without a veteran calming presence, like, I'm confused as to why, because you haven't been anti-veteran this whole time. You've always been, like, clamoring for veterans. So, like, that to me is why I'm so confused with your argument right now, because you're always the one that's like, oh, we got to keep Dennis Schroeder. Oh, we got to keep, you know,
so-and-so. Oh, they could use Dennis Schroeder right now. No, right. Aaron Gordon's so not the right guy.
Point, Mike. What's the damn point? If it's Dennis Schroeder, if it's Eric Gordon, if it's whoever.
Because Dennis Schroeder is a point guard. Because Dennis Schroeder is a point guard. Eric Gordon's not a point guard.
Oh, my God, Mike.
He's not a point guard. You just said they need a point guard.
What I'm saying
is. They need a point guard. Eric Gordon's not a point guard.
But that's not the reason why they're losing games, because Eric Gordon's playing. Eric Gordon was the reason why the team was in it tonight.
But that's the thing. Like, he's okay.
And look, long term, because let's use the word long term, because that's why Eric Gordon isn't good for the team. That's why Eric Gordon isn't
good for the team. He's not good for the team short term either. Either way, he's not good for the team.
No.
He needs to go.
Short term, what he does is he creates this calming effect. He's not gonna run every single play into the ground. He's not gonna, you know, force a bunch of turnovers. He's just not that player. And the Rockets have a bunch of players like that. And what they need is someone to kind of like calm the waters a bit. And tonight he was able to, because Eric Gordon is smart enough, because he's seen enough basketball to recognize when, okay, I'm shooting this three here, but oh wait, maybe it's better if I just go get a two. And like, that is something that some of these players don't have, simply because of the lack of experience, not because of anything, you know, like skill wise, because it's something that they can develop over time. It's just something that they don't have at this moment. And the reason why the Rockets are as bad as they are is because they don't have enough players like that. While I do agree with you that Eric Gordon is not good for the team long term, because he is eating away at some of these minutes, eventually, like when you trade Eric Gordon, like, you're going to get someone in return that's going to eventually take those minutes. Those minutes are not going to be completely allocated by Josh Christopher and Dacian Nix and whoever. And the thing is, like, yes, I wish that Josh Christopher had more of an opportunity to play a little bit more, because there isn't really much of a reason why he shouldn't be playing, other than the fact that he's not shooting the ball well at all right now. And no one is, to be fair. So, yes, maybe you should be playing Josh Christopher. But then again, outside of Eric Gordon, you really can't take minutes away from anybody. It's just, like, look, Eric, I understand the anti-Eric Gordon argument. And I agree with that to an extent. But if you, on a night like tonight, where you lose by only three possessions, and the reason why you were – and the offense was so bad, apart from the one person, Eric Gordon. Like, look, if the Rockets won tonight, we wouldn't be saying – we wouldn't have this conversation.
We would have this conversation. I'd have the same conversation with you. I don't care what it is.
Well, we wouldn't say Eric Gordon's responsible for the loss, because there wouldn't have been a loss that he
was responsible for. I'm not saying he's responsible for the loss. I haven't said that once. My point is, I've said it before, I'd rather lose by 30 without Eric Gordon than lose by 9 or 8 with him.
Well, then, Mike, if you're going to lose by 30 every night, you're not getting enough development from the roster, because half the game is in garbage time and you're not getting the best from your opponent. You're just getting the Rockets against a G League team after they get blown out by a team that's better than them.
It's gotta be
somewhere in the middle. It's gotta be somewhere in the middle. It's gotta be somewhere where they're getting some kind of balance. You want to be competitive at least. And that's been the whole MO for this team. Let's make every team that we play earn it. We might not win every game and we might not be in every game, but let's try to be as competitive as possible in a lot of these games. And in some nights, like Wednesday night, it'll turn into a win. But tonight, it wasn't because they couldn't shoot enough. And I think if Kevin Porter was in this game, we'd be having a different conversation.
But the thing is, they win on Wednesday, and we said it on Wednesday because Luka wasn't playing. Come on, man. We all knew why they won on Wednesday.
Yeah, but you get the win. You still, you get
the
win.
You got the win. But I'm using this as
an example. And they played a team tonight. They were competitive against a team tonight who, despite having a surprisingly untalented roster on paper compared to the rest of the league.
Who are you talking about? You're talking about Indiana?
Indiana.
That's a nice roster. It's a nice roster.
It's compared to the rest of the league, it is not a nice
roster. It's a nice roster. Compared to us, it's a nice roster.
Compared to us, it's a nicer roster, yes, because everyone is.
But they got some building blocks. That's my point. They have some building blocks.
We also have building blocks.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Compared to Indiana.
We can't just,
let me ask you a question.
Just forget what happened two nights ago with Jabari Smith
and
Usman Garuba.
Yes, I can.
Mike, that's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous? They literally played against a shitty Mavericks team without Luka. That team
was
garbage.
And tonight they played a not so good Indiana team. Not as good as their record suggests.
Okay. Well, I mean, the record is the record. You can't say that they're not as good as their record suggests.
You know what I'll tell you?
The record is the record.
You know, I want to end this on something that we can agree on.
Okay.
Because I think a big reason why Indiana is playing better than their roster suggests is because their coaching is better. Rick Carlisle is a championship coach. And I think they got lucky with how they got there because Rick Carlisle wasn't going to go and join a team like that was – going to be a rebuilding situation. He went there not thinking it was going to be that, yet he's staying there because he has a relationship with Indiana and he's been successful with Indiana before. And
he's done a great job.
So Indiana did a good job in being able to convince Rick Carlisle to stay along and help build this team into what it is. I think the next guy the Rockets should get, I think should have some NBA head coaching experience. And he should have – like, there's two different types of coaches, right? Like, there's the NBA coach that's, been through it in the NBA that can help lift the team from where they are. And then there's a young coach that has been around the league and as an assistant that if given a good roster, they can use and they can maybe give a fresh perspective. And Steven Silas was brought in, and he was the best candidate at the time because – we were a team that was looking for a fresh vision, not necessarily looking to rebuild because at the time, James Harden and Russell Westbrook were there. So Steven Silas was a guy who just built the most efficient offense in NBA history because he had Luka Doncic.
Which means nothing because he went out in the first round, but continue.
Well, I mean, obviously now, had he stayed with that team, I don't think he would have been in the first round every year. Especially considering where they went last year. So what I'm saying is the team is just going in a different direction coaching wise that I think is not where it needs to go. Look, if you don't like where you are, you got to change something. And it's way easier to change the coach than it is to change the players. I really don't think the players are at fault here. I think they just need a different direction because we've seen the talent. We know the talent is there. We've seen it, on some nights more than others, but there is talent there and there is something there, whether it be small, as small as it can be, there's something there. It's just not being curated correctly. And I don't know if we're going to see the full season like this play out. I can't imagine Steven Silas would stay beyond this season. If there was a midseason change, maybe we get something that, maybe they bring up Lionel Hollins or someone like that, or they promote John Lucas. Maybe we get a different kind of energy from the team. But at this point right now, it's just the Rockets are kind of going in a direction that isn't a very good direction philosophy-wise. I think the players are fine right now. I think the direction of the team is what needs to change. The philosophy.
A lot of disagreement tonight on the show, Jeremy, but that's what makes us fun, man.
Yeah, it would be boring if we agreed on everything.
I mean, that's entirely true. Once again, Rockets lose tonight 99-91. I think this is a decent place to park the rocket ship. We will be back live with you on Sunday after the Rockets take on the Warriors inside of Toyota Center. And then we are off for what, 5 days, Jeremy? Is that right?
I think we're off. I think what the last game is what, Monday?
We play on Sunday. Yeah, play so on Sunday,
and then they're back on Friday against the Hawks.
Yes. So let me just verify that real quick. I believe you are correct. They play Sunday against Golden State and then Friday against Atlanta. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. My name is Mike Brown. That is Jeremy Brenner. Once again, we'll be live with you on Friday night after the Rockets take on the Hawks. If you are on Twitter, make sure to follow The Dream Take at The Dream Take. Follow the mothership of The Dream Take, The Dream Shake, at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, on Twitter at
Jeremy Brenner. That's Jeremy Brenner. You can follow my co-pilot, Michael Brown, on Twitter at
MikeBrown_2020. If you're on Facebook, follow The Dream Shake at, you can just search The Dream Shake. Finally, head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets all the time. Once again, my name is Mike Brown, and we'll be back live with you on Friday. Rockets lose tonight, 99-91. And until Friday night, Rockets fans, go Rockets.